Ladies and gentlemen, the following radio event, truly one of the most unusual of its kind, contains material that may be too shocking and intense for some audience members. If you have a heart condition or are easily upset, we urgently recommend you exercise listener discretion and immediately turn your radio dial.
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of HIP.
If the radio played?
No, not at all.
You don't straighten up, boy, I'm gonna kick a mud hole in your backside and stomp a drop.
The whole world's gone crazy.
This whole thing makes me sick. You make me sick.
Radio people ought to do something about this. You know, it's just not right.
Not so sure it's a radio thing.
Baby, 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 baby
keep away from the corner. Say what I got to say. Hold one hand on to get ready for a ride. Give me one hand loose and I'll be satisfied. Give me free hand, baby, cause I wanna rock. Turn it loose in, baby, I won't blow my top. Give me free hand, woman, let it swing with my thigh. Give me one hand loose and I'll be satisfied. Hello. And I'll be satisfied. Give me free hand, baby, cause I wanna rock. I turn it loose in, baby, I won't blow my top. Give me free hand, baby, let it swing by my side. But give me one hand loose and I'll be satisfied. And I'll be satisfied. Give me free hand, baby, cause I wanna rock. Turn it loose in, baby, I will pull my top. Give me free hand, warm my leg, swing by my side. Give me one hand loose and I'll be satisfied.
Well, me, Doc, put me more with me. Doc pulling me won't hurt 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 me. Doc, you. Let's go. Well, I asked her if she'd marry me so I could hold her hand. Then she could be my love until I'd be her rocking man. Now she won my heart, we'll never part when my girl says to me, well, me pa 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 da pa 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 me mo, well, me pa 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 da pa 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 me mo, me pa 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 da pa 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 me mo, well, me pa 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 da pa 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 me mo, me that for me mo, and me that you.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Feathers, a man I can never get tired of hearing, which is probably today a good thing on Fool's Paradise, because we're going to have 2 hours of Charlie Feathers, a Charlie Feathers blowout in recognition of his upcoming birthday on the 12th of June, and a whole host of amazing new reissues that take a closer look at his incredible career. And we've got some special guests, too, not the least of which here in the studio, Billy Miller,
hey,
co-founder
Rex.
Of Norton Records. Hello,
all
welcome
right.
again. We've had fun doing shows in the past, and
sure
when you put together these reissue packages, 3 volumes of Charlie Feathers stuff.
Overflowing, bursting at the seams.
I decided the only right thing to do is to have a 2-hour blowout, and you know, obviously, I guess with the recent passing of Bo Diddley, that might have been something we would have done today, but Charlie passed
away
before him.
Right, not you can't underestimate the mighty Bo, and
exactly.
I'm sure the, you know,
so we're going in chronological order. Charlie
right.
passed away first, I guess, in what,
1998?
98, yeah. So, Charlie Feathers, I'm sure most of our listeners, certainly the Fool's Paradise faithful, are familiar with his legacy. And, you know, born there in Slade, Mississippi. And if you don't know where that is, it's right next to Blackjack, Mississippi.
Well, the funny thing with that is Charlie's mailbox at where he was first born was actually across the street from the property, so the mailbox itself was in Tennessee.
Right.
So that's how close to the border he was, for real.
Wow. Now, when did you first become familiar with Charlie Feathers? I mean, you're a longtime collector.
I guess
fan
like
of
the early
stuff.
70s,
yeah.
When I was a teenager.
Yeah, because I had those crazy Gusto reissues with the ugly cover.
Right.
And I guess the first thing that stood out is the name, Charlie Feathers, and this has got to be
yeah.
good. And
yeah, yeah.
He certainly delivered.
Right.
And since that point, you've been gathering.
I think I heard the King 45s first.
Right.
I believe. I'm not quite sure, but.
And those are monumental records, really.
They sure are.
And for my money, in so many different ways, Charlie Feathers is the quintessential rockabilly performer. Not just
certainly.
Because he
certainly.
Was one of the founding fathers of the music, and not just because of the instrumentation that he had and that fusion of blues and country, but because he was always kind of on the fringes of music biz, you know. I mean, he
right.
recorded for influential labels, but mostly small labels, and he was doing it in funky little studios.
Yeah.
And just relentless music that, I guess, to the parents of the time, I can understand. It could have been. It sounded scary. Having that come out of your daughter's bedroom, you know.
Right, right.
So these are just intense and amazing records. And we kicked the show off with 4 sides that I think are really representative of Charlie.
Yeah, I think the last one we heard was Tongue Tied Jill, which Charlie did at Meteor, the Memphis label, in April of 56. It was right after he'd cut some sides for Sam Phillips at Sun. He was at Sun for, you know, in and out of there for a few years, trying to get Sam to cut him as a rockabilly singer, but Sam Phillips saw him as a country singer. He even went on to say he could have been the next George Jones, but he had his hand in a lot of rockabilly stuff. He co-wrote I Forgot to Remember to Forget. He wrote at least 2 other songs for Elvis that Elvis didn't get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash says, I mean, pardon me, Charlie had a lot of claims of what of what he did at
right.
Sun, what his role was. And a lot of this stuff wasn't documented.
Right.
But Johnny Cash even said he ran the board when Elvis cut Baby Let's Play House, and I know because I was there.
Wow.
You know? So,
yeah.
I mean, who did what is, you know.
Yeah. And one of the great things about Tongue Tied Jill, we just finished up the set with, not only, obviously, is an amazing record, but Sam Phillips purportedly turned his nose up at it because it mocked the affirm.
The afflicted.
Of the afflicted. Right?
Yeah. That's pretty great. Also, half the time you find that record, the labels are reversed, so it's great that you get with it on the other side. You can't go wrong.
Absolutely.
Don't even look at what you're playing.
So that's some afflicted speech impediment rock.
Yeah.
The best kind.
Yeah, and before that, we heard Rain, which was cut in 1968, of all years. I mean, you know, it was...
He remained true to the sound.
Yeah. I mean, that record is a contemporary... speaking about the afflicted. Contemporary of Obladi Oblada, if you think about it. But, that was based on the Johnny Bond song, Where You're At Tonight. And this is just incredible sound. Incredible. You know, to sound like that in 1968, you know.
Yeah, just... and I love the picture sleeve. This came out on Norton. It's a 45, and it's Charlie Feathers playing at some house party.
No, yeah, he's playing that. The cute little gal on the left, we're going to send that out to her. That's Shirley Richardson. That was his fan club president.
An all-female fan club, right?
All-female fan club that all worked at the phone company. It's great.
Wow. That's inspired.
Yeah.
So we also had one of the classic King sides in there.
Yeah, One Hand Loose that he cut in Cincinnati. And I don't believe that Charlie wasn't overly fond of the King records because the engineers would try to get him to do the hiccup thing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they got an amazing sound. But
boy, when you look at you turn this little biscuit over, you get Bottle to the Baby.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
All of them. You flip them over and over, you know. You spend all day doing that.
Absolutely.
And we started with Stutter and Cindy, our last vocally afflicted record of tonight, I guess. that was, again, from 1968, a late record. The great late, great Marcus Van Story on bass. And
nothing better.
Yeah.
Man.
And Charlie's stuff, really, it transcends time. It really does.
And we're going to get a good survey of his whole career, not only with the aforementioned reissue packages that have just come out with oddball 45s, later 45s, and demos, but we're going to have a couple special guests lined up. We're going to hopefully get Charlie's son, Bub, on the phone.
Right.
And we'll get Raymond, his longtime guitar player.
Raymond Maupin, who we'll talk about him a little later, but... he came up with the great Jungle Fever.
Whoa. An astonishing achievement.
Just to say the name of the song,
I know.
You got to stop.
It's magical.
Yeah.
So why don't we play a few more early Charlie records and then get Raymond on the phone. So I think what do we have here? One of the
a demo that he did in Sun 1956, Kareem.
Well, let's get to it. This is a very special edition of Fool's Paradise. It's a Charlie Feathers.
They're all special.
Thank you. It's a Charlie Feathers 2-hour blowout in recognition of his upcoming birthday and a whole bunch of great reissue stuff. So let's get back to the music here on WFMU.
I love Corina, tell the world I do. Not just a little loving, let your heart be true. Corina, where you been so long? Corina, where you been so long? And there's no loving since you've been gone. Oh, Corina. You marry me. Well, I love Corina. I tell the world I do. I love Corina. Tell the world I do. Not just a little loving. Let your heart be true. Corina.
Corina. bed last night. Came in this morning, and it didn't look right. Well, I love a Corina, I tell you what I do. I love Corina, tell you what I do. Ever Corina, did it won't be true.
Now listen to me. Oh, the glamour of the gay nightlife, it lured you to the place where the wine and liquor flow. Where you wait for life to be anybody's baby and forget true is love you never know.
I was as happy as a boy could ever be. No chance for you to leave me. No way to say goodbye. This was true love. We just knew it. There was no question. We were so sure that this was real true love. True love can never be broken. All of us we seem fall apart. There's not a chance in a million we'll lose. But we lost. I was wrong, so wrong. Hasn't times long ago and yesterday. Well, it's the same old story. She left me blue. So if you're darling and love each other, just treat her right, then you know there is no chance you'll ever part.
Oh, yeah. Celebrating That's Charlie great. Feathers today. That is terrific. Fool's Paradise with you on WFMU in a very special program again today. A lot of Charlie Feathers and a lot of other significant figures. I'm here with Billy Miller from Norton Records, and why don't you let us know what we just played that last set?
We just played the top of the set. We played Carina Carina, the early Sun demo. Can't Hardly Stand It, a classic from Charlie.
Oh, yeah, by any measure.
1956, excuse me, King Record, and we played a DJ copy, so we could call King Records and say the DJ copies are actually...
Where's my payola?
Hey, I gave you a sandwich.
That's right.
Norton does our payola in cold cuts.
Right. Thanks to City Subs.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Wild Side of Life, a live track from the 80s, which is just phenomenal.
Mind-blowing.
And we ended with Charlie's good buddy and great guitar player and fellow songwriter, the great Memphis rockabilly star, Raymond Maupin, with No Chance on Fernwood Records.
Well, you know, I like that record so much, I thought we should get Raymond on the phone. Raymond, are you with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. How'd you like the sound of that last record?
I couldn't make it. You know, it sounded a little bit thin or whatever, and I noticed I put plenty of Billy Goat vibrato in it in those days. I tell you, we was all excited in those days, you know, and... Elvis had started that thing off, and we were so excited we couldn't stand still. And we didn't know. We're just kids, you know.
We can't stand still when we hear records like that.
But it had the spirit. Everything had the spirit back in those days.
Absolutely. Now, we're celebrating the music and legacy of Charlie Feathers today, and you got to know Charlie pretty well. How long did you play guitar with him?
Oh, man, we lived pretty close to each other, and we'd see each other about every day for years and years and years. And Charlie was a different kind of fella. Everything you played for him, it had to be well understood. If he didn't understand it, you can forget it. You can just start over, you know. And he always drilled that home. As a matter of fact, I remember once he went down to, took a song of mine down to Nashville, and Chet Atkins did the session. And while he was there, they had a little odd piece on there that bump, 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 dun, 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 like that, so he could understand it for a background. And I believe that Chet come up with an instrumental like that. Charlie asked Chet if he wanted to play a guitar on it, lead on it. He said he just kind of grinned and shook his head. So I think Chet thought that was so strange, he went ahead and made an instrumental out of it, I believe, to this day.
All right.
Now, you
heard that song.
Now, what impressed you most about Charlie Feathers as a performer? Because I imagine you got to see him plenty of times up on stage.
I told somebody that Charlie didn't have to try to be different. He was different. And he was almost so to the point and so plain about some things that, you know, you'd overlook him. He's just hard to understand, but he knew what he wanted. Even when that kind of music kind of died out, he kept doing the same thing year after year after year. That's all he wanted to know, and that's all he knew, and that's all he was going to do.
And he did it well.
Yes, he did. He started out, when Elvis started what we call, what the young folks know today, they call rock and roll, it was nothing but blues sped up. But Elvis had that been around a lot of the blacks down around Tupelo, and they had that whiny blues sound about him, you know. We all thought he was a black man. Then we found out different, and then a lot of the white boys around Memphis, like Carl Perkins and Charlie and all, they wanted to do rock and roll too. So they started doing what they call rock and roll, but they're too country. They sounded real country. And so just automatically they come up with a new kind of music. I had to put a name on it, you know, called a rockabilly. But they did very well with it. And
absolutely.
Carl Perkins, he was brought up around, you know, some blues, some homegrown blues too. But so was Charlie in the cotton field, but still, he was still country. And
yeah,
so
Charlie.
Call it rockabilly.
Charlie always talked about those cotton patch blues.
Yeah. Yeah, he. I don't know who named it that, but it's not exact. It's a little bit different. People will be out. Charlie told me they'd be out in the cotton field. He talked about it to me one before, and he said that they'd be out there, you know, and they. I wrote a song myself about not too long ago. It's old blues singer, know why you sing your song. You've been out picking that cotton in the hot sun all day long. If you want your $2, you know, you pick it till the setting sun. So anyway, they just had to almost sing to get themselves in enough mood to be able to stand the day, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's hard work. I was out there today, and it was in the middle of the day. I couldn't work outside, so I had to come on and get out of it.
And one of the things I remember reading, you had remarked that Charlie was one of the funniest men you ever knew. It's like
I
a real comedian.
He would come up with funny situations. They come back one night, him and two musicians from up somewhere, up north of Memphis, and they came back, and Charlie said, man, we're so tired we couldn't go on any further. He said, I pulled over right beside a railroad track, and he said, I went to sleep. He said, two boys in the back seat, a two-door car. You had to push a seat up to get out in the back. He said, then I woke up, my train was coming. He said, the light was flashing one to the left and flashing to the right. Now, this is Charlie. This is strictly Charlie. He said, he hollered, them boys, little boys asleep. He said, train! He woke them up, hollering, train. And he said, he jumped out of the car. He said, they was all asleep. They thought they had stopped on the railroad track and was stalled. And he said, man, every time that light would fly back, come back and forth, he said, there'd be a different boy in the doorway. He said, then they'd pull each other back. He said, I could hear them scrumming around back there.
They're probably still awake.
Yeah, but you ought to hear Charlie tell it. Ooh, his wife was with him all those years, Rosie. He called her Rosie. And she, I watched her laugh after she cried with Charlie telling that. Charlie, he'd cry. It was so funny, you know, the way it happened. He's always coming up with things like that. They took him one time to the dentist, and he wanted to get a couple of, you know, he was real nice looking in his younger days, real nice looking. They wanted to make sure everything just right, don't get his teeth fixed. And Jody and Jerry was part of his band. They took him in the dentist, and they waited outside. And they went in, they waited for hours. They had to go in and check on him. So that fella went out the back door. He left him sitting out there waiting. He's all, I mean, that's just things that I just can't explain to you, but the different things he did. It was, he would just, it was just in him. He'd have made a better comedian if you'd have, you know, if you knew how to get around him like that, and he would anything else.
Now, Raymond, I got to tell you, when Billy told me we were going to get you for our Charlie Feathers show, Billy and I both agreed we had to ask you about what is frankly one of the most amazing records of all time. And, of course, I'm talking about Jungle Fever. Now, you wrote it. What was the source of inspiration for this incredible record?
Well, I tell you, back in those days, they wanted something kind of wild. You know, they was looking for the most feeling, the most excitement, whatever high they could get out of a song. And I just imagined that up about you couldn't get much wilder than being out in the, you know, African jungle or something. And so I started on that idea. And I was thinking about, you know, the African drums and all in there. And I just the way I started. You still there?
Oh, yeah, we're with you.
Okay, anyway,
we're hanging on every word.
What happened is I sang that thing to Charlie, and Charlie was hard to get him to do a song. He almost had to write it himself. It was just hard to get him to do anything else. So I kept saying that for 2, 3, or 4 months went by, and he began to hear it. And after a while, he caught a hold of it and helped me finish writing it. And we wound up playing a guitar case for the bongo drums on it. And when Charlie did get the idea, you know, just like I said before, he was one-minded. He could concentrate, you know. He could put that country rockabilly to it when he really got his mind made to it. And he wrote most of those words. You'll hear some of the words that he wrote, lions and a leopard creeping through the grass. He said, now listen here, man, when I say grass, I want that echo to say grass. sound like a snake on the end of it, he said. You know, and he had a good imagination now. He was a good writer. He didn't write nothing down on paper. He didn't do a lot of that, you know, that kind of thing. And anyway, he didn't have to. If it didn't stay with him, he didn't have to worry about looking back and seeing what it was. It wasn't, to him, it just wasn't good enough.
And well, that was a great Roland James on that guitar licks on there.
Roland played on that one of mine, and I don't know which one he played on Charlie's. I don't know if he played on the original Jungle Fever or not.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, we're pretty sure he did.
Yeah, but I remember I had a Birdland Gibson, and I played on one of the takes, and I remember I asked him, I said, what was that sound in there? He said, that was your shirt button hitting the guitar string, chiming on there. And I said, what was that?
Well, anyway, we love the sound. We love the results. One of our all-time favorite records, Jungle Fever. We got it queued up here, and we got to thank you, Raymond Maupin, for spending a little
Raymond.
Time with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good to talk to you.
All take right, care. Man.
Jungle Fever. lonely bones gonna lay. I'm gonna plant me a tree, but I can't see where my baby done gone home. Then I look in the sky with tears in my eyes and tell my baby goodbye.
Done her wrong. the wrong, he done the wrong, ba 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 da. Thank you.
Well, it's often said on this program, that was a remarkable achievement, recorded sound. This is Fool's Paradise. We're here with Billy Miller today from Norton Records, and we're paying tribute to one of our favorite artists, certainly of all time, Charlie Feathers. And just heard a whole heaping helping of some of the stuff that is part of a reissue series that Norton Records has put out recently. That track, Cockroach.
That was an amazing thing, wasn't it?
God.
It was early 80s. Charlie had an arrangement with a fellow named Kim Wood, who started a label called Feathers. And his whole idea was, we'll let Charlie do what he would want to hear on a jukebox. So he just started recording all kinds of stuff. Carl Perkins songs, One Black Rat by Memphis Minnie, which he did as One Good Gal. Make-up songs like that, Cockroach, things like that. We'll hear a whole bunch of those a little later in the program, but that one was Cockroach. Before that, That Certain Female.
Amazing.
That was cut in Ronnie Weiser's living room. 1974, one take. Ronnie's playing the stapler on that.
Right. Wow.
We'll send that out to him wherever he may be. We heard three from the new record that we've got, the new collection called Long Time Ago. Frankie and Johnny, which was a demo, Sun Records demo. And there's been a few takes of that around, but that take has never been there. There's a nice hiccupy tag at the end.
And you got that on a 45, among other formats?
No, not that take.
One? Okay.
No, you're going to have to go home and A-B them and figure out what takes what.
Okay.
And, no, that's the first time that version's ever been
out.
Oh,
great, great.
Before that, we heard She's Gone, which was a song I guess Charlie had a long time ago. That one was cut probably around the same time as the Feathers singles, maybe just before late 70s. But if you've got the Norton Tip Top Daddy collection, I have no idea why you wouldn't. There's the last two songs have these kind of like blaring horns. And there's one song called She Done Gone, and that's the same song as that, but totally different arrangement. Charlie would always switch the songs around like crazy. In the top of the set, we heard another one from that collection, Jungle Fever, which if you know the second version of Jungle Fever, I won't even bring it up.
You have to listen to it on your own in the privacy of your own home. We can't disseminate it over these airwaves.
Or the Dave the Spaz show. Where it's been featured.
Dave will play it.
Yeah.
Surely.
And we got to talk to Raymond Maupin at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fantastic getting them behind the scenes, not only in Charlie, but, of course, Jungle Fever. And another nice thing in your reissue package here, you've got excerpts from some Charlie interviews that were conducted.
The fellow I mentioned before, Kim Wood, he was actually one of the coaches of the Cincinnati Bengals and a big Charlie Feathers fan. There's the Charlie story weaves in and out with a lot of characters. You know, he may be in a character himself, but he certainly drew a lot of people to him, I guess. And there's a 20-minute interview, and it's chopped up and tacked onto the CDs. Why don't we listen to the first one, which is Kim Wood interviewing Charlie Feathers, and this has never been broadcast before. So
it's all part of our Charlie Feathers special today here on Fool's Paradise. Billy Miller, our special guest from Norton Records, and a little bit later in hour two, we're going to have Charlie's son, Bubba, on the phone talking about, again, the legacy of Charlie Feathers. So let's get a little taste treat here and, again, listen to this Charlie Feathers interview. This is part one, again, never broadcast, all part of our Charlie Feathers spectacular. What's a fandango, a Feathers fandango?
It's a birthday party, I guess.
A birthday party, that's right. His birthday coming up on the 12th. So, again, let's listen to this interview. And a reminder, of course, that you're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and online at WFMU.org.
Tell me about this fella, Elvis Presley. I know now that Elvis is dead, like you told me once, you said that you played someplace and someone said that that you were his favorite singer and he had a whole stack of your records, and you thought that was kind of strange because you only had one record out at that time.
That was way back. I cut a country thing that son, you know, and Matter of fact, that's the reason. Well, some boys brought a song by, and he said, well, Charlie, I want you to do a country thing. Okay, I did it. Because the reason he did this was because some boys brought us a country song by, and he didn't think much of the song. They did it somewhere else, and it was a pretty good record. Mm-hmm. And they come back the next time, so I got hung in that bag, in which, hey, man, it's one country singer that Charlie Feller loved was a guy named Hank Williams. The greatest songwriter of all time. And he has something else in there. So anyhow, I did the country song. My heart wasn't in it. Never was in it. And
but what were you doing? Okay, you recorded for Sun Records, and you kind of got put in the country song bag. Mm-hmm. But really what I'm after is that you knew Elvis when he started out, and you were doing some things, and he was doing some things as far as creating that sound and performing. And tell us a little bit about that. It's a what, you know, how, when did you meet the guy? What
I met Elvis, and it was in '53.
You were working for Sam Phillips at Sun at that time.
You know, I was there. I wasn't drawing any money.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Well, not many people did.
See,
anyway.
That's true. That day, some people didn't get. You know, you didn't cut union sessions. We didn't know what that was. And man, you go down, you just play what you feel, and that was it. I was there. I lived right down the street. And remember the very day that Elvis come in there, and the girl Elvis, Marion, she was working there. Marion liked what was happening there. We piddled around on a few tunes and things. Sam was strictly against it. He said, man, these gay people are just, they said they're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're crazy. Well, what is a nut, man? I mean, you know, in this music, you're doing something nobody else knows what you're doing. He's got a backup, so like the guy said about the Cotton Patch Blues, you know. I mean, it's, he didn't understand it at all. And we begged him for a long time, begged him, been going to get the record, do the record, mm-hmm. man, out. And he grew to it kind of as it went along because he could see if we could make a buck, so he began to come to it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
But Elvis is somebody that you saw really when he was starting. You kind of
with him. Oh, yeah, I met Elvis down in Lowell Park off of Alabama back. And my brother, oldest brother, knew him at that time, too. Used to go to a little old movie up there to see him. That's back, maybe he worked at a theater down there or something. But we'd go up to Suzo number 2 on North Main Street there. Had a lot of Westerns, you know, and mm-hmm. John Wayne, all those guys. And they'd go up there and bomb a quarter and go in. And I meet him down there in a park. I used to know somebody down there, and I'd leave Sun Studios. I'd walk across there every night.
To go to the movies.
Sam,
I
wasn't going to the movie. I was going down. I knew somebody down below him there.
Oh.
Down below Elvis. Elvis banging around out there with a little
guitar. Is that a male or a female that you knew?
Well,
okay,
female.
It's all right. It's a long time ago.
Female. And I'd sit around, bang around with him down there. And I mentioned the thing at Sun Records. You ever come over there or something? I'm trying to sell this man this idea of doing this.
You're trying to say
we didn't call it rockabilly right then.
Well, you didn't know what it was.
Were saying, man, it should be done. And he couldn't not compete with Nashville doing country. See, it's two different things. Nashville, Memphis is Memphis.
Well,
there's Little Rock over there, and they're completely different places, and you can tell it when you go to them.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell it by being around the people. It just shows. And music can be played there in Memphis and Little Rock town or where it would never be played there, you know. And we had a famous disc jockey there to do that. He went over there, and he was a total flop there. Over here, he was just, everybody loved him, named Dewey Phillips. And really, a lot of people feel that Dewey Phillips really was on this rockabilly stuff, but no, it's true. The man sitting, I don't know where he's at now, named Sleepy Eye John.
He's a disc jockey.
He broke the record in this. And later, the record was so hot, after the people got used to it, that the station had to close up because he wanted Sam and him to record somebody else in a way, and it just couldn't. We couldn't get a sound on him. And so he comes to putting this thing down, that Elvis. So he lost his job at the station. Pretty soon the station even went out of business. No longer there. WHHM. They will forget it. And just to show you that it struck.
Well, a rock last night I came in here for. The woman told me I had to rock some more. She set me down, she put the young in my life. She said, rock that young and wild. Take a nap and give the bottle to the baby. Bottle to the baby. Yeah, rock. Bottle to the baby. If you want me to baby, yeah, let's rock now. Settle down and give the bottle to the baby. Bottle to the baby, diddy wop wop wop. Bottle to the baby, diddy want me the baby, yeah. That's right. Well, when I get here, talk on my game night before. Then I think back for the things I've done. I'm sorry, little mama, if I don't treat you right. But you know I hate to hear you say every night. Here's a bottle to the baby. Bottle to the baby, come on in, rock. Bottle to the baby, if you want me to baby you. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Hey, baby, did you bop, 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 bop